basin in the old bayou. Find your favorite fishing pole. Find out where's the next honey hole. Only on the Top Rod Fishing Show.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Kane Radio's Fishing and Hunting Show. I'm Tony Landry, along with Ricky Watkins. Good morning, Rick. Good
morning, Tony.
Anyway, for our weekly Fishing and Hunting Show, and welcome to Kane Radio. Of course, we're on the FM band at 107.5 and AM 1240. And the purpose of this show, as always, is to keep our listeners updated with the fishing and the hunting in the area, along with Louisiana and stories around the USA and the world. And, Rick, as always, it wouldn't be for these fine people, we wouldn't be here each Friday morning.
You're right, Tony. We got to thank our sponsors. Good morning to everyone. Alamo Hydraulics, Doors Heating and Cooling, Coca-Cola, The Quarter Tavern, and Home Run Pizza.
And if you want to give us a call, the number, of course, you got to dial the area code. It's 337-367-1240. And you can also listen to us online at www.kane1240.com, anywhere in the world. If you have Alexa, just say, Alexa, play Kane 1240. You can also listen to Kane on any accessible internet device. And we're live here at the studios at 107 West Main Street here in downtown New Iberia, right next to Victor's Cafeteria, which is open. And Rick, right off the bat, freshwater, saltwater fishing, what's going on, man?
Well, Tony, in the basin, I've been doing good in the basin, but now that the waters went up, I didn't make a trip this week. Like I said, I don't like to fish the lake because I got a lot of friends of mine that duck hunt, and I respect that. The area that I like to fish is where the heavy duck hunting goes on, you know, push pretty much the whole lake. They have blinds all over. The only thing I got to talk about as far as for fishing-wise, Tony, besides working, you know, doing a few things on my boat, which I told you earlier.
Yeah.
Toledo Bend is still good, you know, about 30-foot deep with shiners. Find your a creek channel with a drop-off towards the creek channel. I mean, they've been racking up on the Sockley. And as far as for freshwater, I haven't really heard a whole lot about saltwater. I mean, as far as for saltwater, freshwater is where it's at. I haven't heard too much about the saltwater side.
Yeah, you know, with the weather it's being crazy, it's kind of settled in a little bit with a little more chill in the air and all. And I know you're a big barometric pressure guy. And, you know, and it's been some pretty days, though, in the afternoon for saltwater if you want to go out there and fish. And but, boy, when that wind blows,
well,
man.
And it's going to get rough again this weekend, Tony.
Yeah,
so right now it's kind of, you know, it's just kind of a bad, not say a bad time for fishing, but I don't know if I'm just going to wait for better days. I put it that way.
Yeah, and it's and better days aren't that far away, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're through the middle of January already. Today's the 14th, and, you know, the duck hunters, most of them, I think both zones now that they're only two, not three, most of that hunting is going to take place to about the 30th of January.
Yeah.
So and give or take, there's some other, you know, with veterans and youth that can shoot a little bit longer and all. But most of the time it's through those days. And, of course, geese a little different, too,
right,
with the seasons and the basically the light and the conservatory geese with regards to the speckled bellies and the blues and snows and all that. So anyway, but hunting season, you know, deer hunting is also, you know, coming in the next few weeks, I guess, or so. Be winding down and all. So, but that's something else we'll talk about a little later on in the show.
Yes, sir.
And with that, Ricky, and again, let's go straight to Butte La Rose. And
yes.
Boy, the water levels, man.
Well, it's let's see. It's double to where I was fishing, Tony. So what I was fishing, you couldn't even see it under the water. And you had about 7 feet of water to where I was at. And, I mean, that's too much water.
Yeah. And again, about the only good thing that comes out of that, if you're out there in the basin, you're not going to be running into mud flats and things like that with the water at 12 feet or moving that way. It's a little over 10 this morning, 10.27.
Yes, sir.
But it's moving to a little over 12 in the next, what's that, how's my math, about 4 or 5 days.
Yeah,
so,
about 4 days, you're right.
And then it looks like it's basically going to level off.
Well, I don't know if she's going to drop back down, Tony, or keep going up. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
And if I had to say they're forecasting it because of this strong north wind coming, that may knock it down a little bit. But it's probably, if I had to say, it's probably going to keep going up after that.
Well, you know, it's basically what we're looking at on the map here is that it's projected to go out to about the 25th, and it's still hovering around a little less than 12 feet, though.
Yeah.
And what's really conducive, like you said, where it's about anywhere from 5 to 6 feet.
Yeah. But I can't complain, Tony. I've had a good year. Like I said, 5.5, between 4.5 and 5.5. That's my best level. You know, I mean, we was busting them up, you know, catching some nice fish. I sent you a bunch of pictures.
Sure.
And we did a bunch of good fish fries. And, you know, maybe next year I'm looking forward to doing that again, you know.
Yeah, hopefully come February, maybe the end of March. Of course, the water always goes up, you know, in the end of May and the beginning of June due to the snows and all melting and everything.
Yep.
Coming down from the Midwest and all through
Ohio
and down through the Missouri and all those rivers up there where everybody knows Mississippi empties probably 80% of the water in this country. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So in that regard, so we'll see what takes place. But in the meantime, anyway, Rick, even though you haven't been fishing, you know, we usually talk about like a bait of the day and all. I don't know, maybe if you have something. And maybe we talked earlier off the air about keeping your boat in shape, you know, right now with not able to fish with the water levels and things of that nature.
What I've been doing, Tony, is fooling around with the boat. Like I told you, now's the time to check your electrical, because even on your starting battery or your trolling motor batteries, anything that draws amperage is going to draw heat, okay? And where your trolling motor plugs into your boat, and guys that has boats, they need to check this, because when you run your trolling motor for a while, which I do, you know, you troll a lot bass fishing because you're flipping, you're casting, throwing your spinnerbait. Well, when you hit that trolling motor, even if you're running on low, it's drawing heat. So what heat does is it makes it corrosion, okay? So what I do about every 6 months or 4 months, you undo that plug, and I got some electrical spray. Now, I see a little corrosion is a little bluish-greenish color. I take a little wire brush and clean that up and hit it with a little electrical spray, because if you don't, Tony, what happens, it keeps corroding, and there's three prongs on there. And if one of those prongs break, guess what? You don't have no trolling motor.
Yeah, you're right.
So that's just good, you know, kind of check things. And talk about the bait of the day, we'll talk about spinner baits. What's been working good for me, Tony, is a quarter-ounce humdinger, chartreuse blue and white, but there's a copper blade and there's a silver blade. And I think because, you know, before the water went up and before the weather got cool, the bass were feeding up on shad, so that the one with the silver blade has worked better for me, you know, in the last, say, 2 months than the copper blade, you know. But, you know, that's pretty much it, you know. But like I said, besides pond fishing, I'll be shut down for a while, and but it won't be long. A couple of weeks, the weather will turn around. You know,
sure.
Southwest Louisiana.
Oh, yeah. Welcome. Yeah. You're welcome. And also, anyway, just pulled up a survey, an aerial survey that came out, I don't know if it was maybe a few days ago with regards to January, just looking at the different the ducks and all, mallards and everything. Things are really down with regards to the survey in January right now. And over in the southwest area, they spotted about 22,000 mallards. In the southeast area, it was about 1,000. In Catahoula Lake, there was less than even 1,000. So anyway, with teal, the green wing, the blue wing, the green wing was about 200,000 in southwest, 160 of the blue wing. And with the southeast, it was 68,000 over in the southeast and 72. So those numbers basically in the southwest still about 843,000. Of course, when you include the gadwall and the shoveler and all those other birds, but you know, pretty much total ducks were down. They're talking about over in the southwest area, the scalp and the ringneck, canvasback, the total divers. You know, there were total ducks was about 1.1 million over in the southeast section. They saw a little bit better with the ringneck and the canvasback, but things, you know, I don't think, and the hunters talking to them with the duck season, they were hoping maybe the second split would bring a cold weather and a little more ducks, but that's not what they're seeing. So
yeah, it's been mediocre, Tony.
Now, yeah.
Those guys that made that trip, you know, up to the Midwest and Kansas,
yeah,
looks like that's where the birds are at.
Yeah, you're right, because I don't
more
think –
more birds anyway.
Yeah, it's cold up there, but it just hadn't driven them down.
Yeah.
So in our area, of course, you know, with the hurricanes we had, you'd think the southwest area would have a little more greenery, you know, with the growth factor coming back. But over in the southeast area, it's just after Ida, they're still trying to clean up and all. And,
oh, yeah.
And speaking of that, I've got some numbers on that too, Rick, with regards to the study of the 2021 hurricanes caused almost $600 million worth of damage to the Louisiana fishing industry.
Dang.
And when you think about it, Laura, Delta, Zeta, Ida always swept through Louisiana in last year, or I should say a year and a half, resulted in an estimated $579 million in losses to the state's fisheries infrastructure, revenues, and biological resources, according to a study by the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, LSU, and Louisiana Sea Grant. And study findings released today analyzed monetized losses to the fishing infrastructure, which including vessels, sales of gross revenue, and resources lost to the fishing and oysters. The study also projects financial losses that are continuing into 2022. And the parishes, of course, everything south of 10, basically, the parishes. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a list of about 18 parishes here. Of course, everything along the coast, when we talk about that, we're going from Cameron to Vermilion to Iberias to St. Mary, on over to Terrebonne, Lafourche, Plaquemine, all those parishes, St. Martin. Anyway, but the following breakdown of the categories of losses caused by the hurricanes, destructive winds, rains, flooding. Study found that the hurricanes caused $304 million in damages to the fisheries infrastructure, and of the damages of Laura, Delta, Zeta in 20 accounted for 30% of it, but Hurricane Ida in 21 accounted for 70% of the damages.
Yeah.
And wind was the primary driver of the impact of all four storms, accounting for 85% of the damage to vessels, 80% for dealers, 80% for processors, 89% for charters, and 54% for marinas. And the revenue is 22 parishes. I thought it was 18, but it's 22 parishes, $155 million in losses, $48 million in 20, $66-21, $40 million carryover losses expected in the 22, and the losses are estimated $118 million. I mean, just when you think about that, Rick, you know, people don't think about it, granted, but all these people that go out and fish and all, not necessarily you and I, but the commercial fishing that brings a lot of food and revenue to this state.
Yeah, it's good to
When they're down, they can't fish. I mean, you're talking about, and the marinas being affected by people not going out and fish and the charter boats. And, it adds up.
Just over here going out towards Lydia.
Sure.
Those little stores, they do very well on kind of, you know, the point.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of recreational fishing, like you said, a lot of charter fishing. And that dollar rolls over, you know.
That's right.
Taxes, people spend money, and it's good for the economy.
Yeah, and whether people buying bait or they're buying food go out in the water or Coca-Colas or Pepsi or whatever the case may be.
Ice. They sell a lot of ice.
That's right. Ice and just sandwiches and everything else under the sun,
right,
man.
And gasoline. Oh, you got to have fuel for your
boat.
Right.
That's right. That's right. And oil and everything else, man. So, I thought that was a big impact in that regard. So,
right.
Hopefully, we see things a little bit better in the turning of the year, and those poor people down in the South of Fush, Terrebonne areas, and even up as high as St. Charles Parish, and all those parishes up there with the damage they had.
Yeah, because when that storm turned, Tony, and went right outside of Baton Rouge, it did a lot of destruction up that way also.
Boy, you're right about that, too. So, anyway, in regards to that, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries is accepting applications for 22 for the Wildlife Management Area Turkey Hunt Lotteries on White Lake and the Fishing Lottery. So if you're interested in that, of course, the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries is accepting those applications. All lottery applications are now only available through the website, and that's Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. Those wanting to apply should click an update or create their customer details similar to purchasing a license, then submit the application. There's a $5 application fee, a $5 transaction fee per application, and paper applications will not be accepted. Regular lottery turkey hunts will be held on the 8 wildlife management areas this spring. Youth lottery hunts will be held on 9 wildlife management areas. And for more information, you can look it up, and it's a David Hayden you can contact. And applications for lottery drawings for the fishing access to White Lake between March 15th and August 15th are also available. A total of 100 fishing access permits will be issued following the lottery. Drawing and winning applicants will be notified of their opportunity to purchase the permit for $40. Boats used by permittees will be limited to the use of only a 40 horsepower or less.
Okay.
And so if you want to go in, you can't bring them big engines in there to turn up to White Lake. So 40 horsepower on your back of your boat or less. And additional rules and a map are available. You can go to the website and look all that up and see what it's all about. and everything. So,
how big is that lake, Tony?
It's pretty good size.
It is? Okay.
Yeah, it's. I'm trying to regard.
Spanish Lake, probably.
It makes Spanish Lake look like a pond.
Okay.
And like Devil's Pond, I'd say. But yeah,
it's
White Lake.
Then, okay.
Yeah, it's. I even think it make Lake Pelure look small.
Really?
Oh yeah, it's huge lake.
Okay.
Guesstimate 50,000 acres maybe.
Okay. That's,
you know,
it's
a big lake.
Okay.
You know, you don't see it because you go out on 82 and it's not visible, you know, but it's a huge lake and all.
Yes.
It might be bigger even than that. That's a guesstimate on my part.
Okay.
But anyway, I've been on it. But just looking at the aerial view, it's pretty big.
Massive. Okay.
You're right. That's a good word, massive. Anyway, they're coming out with the new Louisiana hunting schedules for the 22 season, and I printed that, Rick, and it's pretty
A lot of changes or not really?
Not a whole lot of changes, but they were outlined in the Wildlife Division of Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries and all. So the area, you know, they have the 10 areas in the hunting for deer.
Okay.
And our area, basically, Iberia Parish is basically in three areas. We're in areas, we're in areas 9, 5, and 7.
Okay.
But most of the people I know that are big-time deer hunters, they go into Mississippi or they head up to North Louisiana.
Close to Arkansas.
Right. In Area 2, which is basically runs from up from Evangeline Parish all the way to Morehouse Union,
okay,
all the way up that way. Then they have another Area 1, which is basically the parishes that are contiguous to the Mississippi up above Baton Rouge. And Area 9 is basically the southeast Louisiana. Don't know how the hunting is down there with all the hurricane damage.
Right.
Area 10 is Cameron, Vermilion, and portions of Jeff Davis and Calcasieu, along with Acadia.
Tony Winfield, is that what
that's going to be in Area 2. Winfield, I want to say they're in, I'm trying to think of the parish that Winfield's in. I don't know if it's up there in Caldwell or maybe Jackson. It's up in that north kind of east corner up
there's
there.
There's a lot of good hunting in that area. Yep.
Yeah, and, you know, so if you want to go to the website and look all that up, it's pretty interesting with the areas with regards to, you know, you got primitive weapons, you got with dogs, without dogs, with, you know, this. I'm not a deer hunter, so there's a lot of info there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And look in the areas you hunt or where you have your lease. That's also so important in that regard.
Yes,
so
sir.
Hopefully people can look at that. Then they've come out with the doves and the turkey areas and the quail, squirrels, geese, Canadian geese. Anyway, but all that's in there, snipe and teal, woodcock. And, you know, the teal looks like they moved it back up a little bit. Last year it seemed like it started on the 15th of September. This year they're looking at September 10th or the 25th.
Okay.
So those are statewide for teal and all. So it's interesting and all. And the wildlife fisheries, that website's pretty easy to negotiate and look through and all. So I suggest you deer hunters look that up along with duck hunters. And they're going to continue with the two zones, the east and west for ducks, as it was in previous years. We had three zones, so a little bit different. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and take our first break this morning. You listen to Kane Radio, FM 107.5 and AM 1240. Fishing and Hunting Show. We'll be back with more with an interesting take on hunting licenses right after this.
Locally owned and operated, Alamo Hydraulics serves the oil business on the national scene. Specializing in welding, grinding, and hard chrome plating, Alamo also does fabrication work on cylinders, valves, pumps, and motors of all brands. Located at 2712 West Admiral Doyle Drive, you can call Chris Williamson at 303-3799. That's Alamo Hydraulics, a proud sponsor of the Kane Fishing and Hunting Show.
Everyone loves pizza, and everyone loves a home run. Put them together, and you have Home Run Pizza. And yes, right here in New Iberia, located at 3816 East Old Spanish Trail, it's New Iberia's newest takeout pizza, and delivery is available. Dough is made fresh each day, and you get an assortment of toppings. Try the Grand Slam, the Double Play, or Mr. Meaty. They're all home runs at Home Run Pizza. 256-5783. That's 256-5783.
We have a new player on the field, and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola and the kick. ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew! Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
A new Carrier heating and air conditioning system from Dahl's Heating and Cooling can save you money every month. Thanks to the newest line of Carrier energy-efficient technology products, you can lower your utility bill. Don't forget to ask about the cool cash savings through your local Carrier dealer. Turn to the Carrier experts at Dahl's Heating and Cooling. Call Dan, you're my AC man, today at 337-367-2511. That's 337-367-2511, license number 6286.
The Quarter Tavern is the premier spot to watch the NFL playoffs with games Saturday, Sunday, and Monday night. And remember, 19 TVs has you covered for all sports, and no bar has more outdoor seating. Quarter Tavern, 910 East Main, across from McDonald's. The best drink prices in DeBary. New Iberia's happiest hours, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 5 to 8. Thursdays, 3 to 6, most drinks half price. Follow them on Facebook for the monthly calendar and daily pop-up specials.
The hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Kane 107.5, AM 1240, and streaming at Kane1240.com.
Welcome back to Kane Radio's Fishing and Hunting Show. And I did a little teaser with regards to, it's true that Louisiana youth now have to buy a hunting license. And, I've lived in Louisiana for all of my, or just about seven decades in my life. And recollection of the Louisiana youth under 16 having never been able to require to purchase a hunting license in order to legally hunt. Well, regardless of the game they pursue, deer, duck, turkey, squirrel, any of the bountiful good Lord bless us with, these youngsters are encouraged to participate without any legal requirement to purchase a Louisiana hunting license. Well, we got a new beginning this year, and the law is changing. And I was reminded of the upcoming changes adopted by the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries this year. And one of the biggest changes was that effective July 1st, 2022, all hunters 17 and younger will be required to purchase a valid original youth hunting license. And it's a $5 license. And that was a result of the new recreational and commercial licenses fees enacted in the 2021 state legislature. So, yes, your 9-year-old didn't have to have a hunting license this past season, but this year they'll legally be required to purchase a $5 in order to hunt. At first glance, this appeared to be just an opportunity for the government to dig in our back pockets. Yeah. But after speaking with representatives from the Wildlife and Fisheries, I totally understand, but I'm not sold on it. Anyway, why is Louisiana making this change? Well, federal funds such as those of the Pittman-Robertson Act of 1937, which I don't remember anything in that regard.
All right.
Anyway, are appropriated to states based on the number of licensed hunters in those states. And because Louisiana has never required our youth to be licensed, we have missed out on monies that could have been used for conservation, hunter education, and other issues, including public access to natural resources. With a nominal $5 fee, we should see a dramatic increase in those numbers, and hopefully we'll realize that added benefits of those funds in a variety of wildlife-related areas. In those full scope of hunting these days, with the rising cost of guns, ammunition, and other related expenditures, this small investment could be the best we've made in years. And the kicker is that at present, Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries has made no changes in regard to youth fishing. As in previous years, Louisiana resident youth under the age of 16 will be allowed to legally fish with no license requirement. So, Rick, interesting. The old act of 1937 by Pittman Robertson says that, you got more hunters listed, we'll give you more money. I don't know, is it to the detriment of, how about a 12-year-old that goes squirrel hunting up in, how many kids that just bring their guns and go walking along and shooting guns, whether it's shooting at snakes or
squirrels?
Yeah, whatever. Now they better have a $5 license.
With a pellet gun.
And how many kids have IDs at 12 years old,
right?
And
then, Tony, if you're an agent and you write the kid, you're going to write a 10-year-old or an 8-year-old kid a ticket? You know, I mean, I don't know. I just
I don't know, Rick. I just
Coach, he's laughing.
I see this.
So I don't know. I would kind of feel bad, you know.
I mean, you like I do. I mean, you know, you see, I just it's strange. Coach, you have a voice on that?
Yeah. This is the way I think that goes down. Yeah. They're going to try to make the law abiding, the people that go out of their way because they don't want their kid embarrassed to pay it. But I really don't see him giving a ticket. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those that you're just trying to get that they've probably already done the numbers. Okay, X amount of people are going to pay this. This is going to generate $100,000. Right. I'm just throwing out a number.
Yeah, you're right.
Because man, that walking up and giving a 5-year-old or a 10-year-old a ticket.
Yeah.
Because he's carrying a BB gun, he's shooting at whatever, right. You know, shooting at.
It's a Christmas story. He's outside shooting at Black Bart.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
it's just strange.
You'll
you know,
shoot your eye out.
I don't know. I just anyway, that's gonna be the agent's problems. Man,
yeah, well,
you know?
Like Coach is saying, Tony, they're looking at a way to generate some more profit. You know, that's the whole thing.
Well, they're looking at to be subsidized some by the federal government too. You got more hunters on the list, and you know there are a lot of kids in this. Heck, as growing up as a teenager, you know, I had a 22, you know, and we'd go out to different places and fire the, of course, we had to be careful because the range of a 22 is about a mile.
But you couldn't beat that old pump Benjamin. I still got mine.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I had a Springfield bolt action 22. Yep.
Now, isn't there something they call a CB cap or something that you can shoot out of a 22 that doesn't go as far? Is that?
There is.
He used to shoot squirrels out of the back of the fraternity house at on Cajun Dome Boulevard.
Well, I had a buddy that shots. He went and bought a pellet gun or whatever, shooting birds out the front of the fraternity house. And I was in college, and some of the actives really got mad.
Right,
killing all those pretty birds.
Yeah,
I mean, just a John Belushi type, you know.
Hey, we weren't killing these squirrels just to look at them. Yeah. We were eating them.
You were shooting the birds.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, you don't want to shoot birds.
His nickname in the fraternity was Psycho.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Anyway, but. Just one of those things, so we'll see. Anyway, just a quick remark here in that regard with hunting and all. So we'll see what that's going to bring forth. So anyway, just crazy.
Yep.
In the meantime, agents cited a Pierre Portman for deer hunting violations in Assumption Parish and 64-year-old. You know, I see these ages of some of these people for taking deer daily limit over the criminal trespassing, hunting without a basic season and big game hunting license, failing to comply with the deer targeting requirements, or tagging, excuse me, requirements, failing to comply with the hunter orange requirements. I mean, you know, 64 years old, you think these people would know a little bit better.
You should, Tony. Yeah.
I just, you know, taking deer, you know, he's looking at excessive fines, probably $3,000 to $4,000, and civil restitution of over $3,000 for the replacement value of the illegal deer taken and all. And you think these people would know better in that regard. So elsewhere, a Houma man arrested for hunting violations in Terrebonne Parish. And, of course, a 30-year-old possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. Mm. Anyway, possession of wild quadruped without the requirement license by selling deer meat, possession of untagged deer, failing to comply with the deer tagging requirements, hunting without a basic season, big game hunting licenses, and in further investigation, agents found that the guilty party did not possess the required license. He was also the convicted felon was booked into the parish jail, seized his rifles, a deer head, the deer meat, and anyway, again, he's going to look at fines and also 10 to 20 years of jail time added up. Buying deer requires carries a fine up to 30 days in jail. I mean, you think these people would anyway know any better if they're going to start the deer hunt? You at least want to go to the website and look up some of the rules. And just unbelievable when you see all this, Rick.
Like you said, Tony, it seems like they would learn from, you know, other people and they know better. I mean, you just they're breaking the law.
Yep, you're right. And let me tell you, the agents, you know. I'm sure they, but when they see the flagrant violations, man, I just.
And Tony, when they give you these deer tags for a reason, you know, that's how they do a lot of surveys. That's how they keep up with the counts, and that's how they keep up, you know, with the bucks and the does, the sex of the deer, the age of the deer. You know, there's a reason you got to tag your deer.
They,
you know?
they want to see how the herd moves and what's going and things of that nature.
That's right.
So that's why we're lucky we haven't had the waste, the CWD disease,
the disease
in our deer, too.
Yep.
Anyway, the tides for this weekend, today, Friday, the 14th of January. The sun rose at 7:03. It's going to set at 5:30, getting a little more daylight each day.
Yep.
In the high and low tide chart, the first low tide was at 7:23 this morning. The high tide will be at 4:13 this afternoon. Tomorrow, Saturday, 7:03 sunrise, 5:31 sunset, high and low tide chart. The low tide will be at 7:55 in the morning, Saturday morning, and the high tide will be at 4:40 p.m. Sunday, the 16th. The sun's going to rise at the same time, 7:03, and set at 5:32, another extra minute or two of daylight. And in the high and low tide chart, the first low tide would be at 8:28 in the morning, that Sunday morning. The low tide, next low tide will be at 9:02 p.m. The only high tide of the day will be at 5:08 p.m. Average water temperature with the cool breeze and the temperatures is 65 degrees right now, Rick. Okay. So that's a little chilly. Yeah. So protect yourself, you know, if you're having to fall in the water.
Oh, Lord, you don't want to fall in the water.
Yeah, you're right about that. So anyway, Rick, as always, each Friday we wouldn't be here if it weren't for these fine people.
Yeah, Tony, we got to thank our sponsors, Alamo Hydraulics, Doors Heating and Cooling, Coca-Cola, the Quarter Tavern, and Home Run Pizza.
And our motto is always,
kids that hunt and fish, don't steal and deal.